Ashley Fury is known for her acoustic and electroacoustic compositions, as well as her multimedia installations. Her music, as we're hearing right now, is not traditional. It's more of an organic expression, and it's won her some of the world's top awards for composition. This is the kind of work she was leading up to when she was a student at Interlaken Arts Academy. I talked with her about music and her time at Interlaken. Welcome, Ashley.
Thanks so much for being
with
us.
Tell me about your time at Interlaken.
Yeah, it was life-changing and revolutionary at that age, which I think is not an uncommon story. I grew up in a small town. I'm from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, actually, and had always played piano, but really wasn't around a lot of classical music as a child or in the earlier parts of my adolescence, and was really hungry for a climate that would be a bit more intellectually challenging and artistically challenging than the public school that I grew up in. And so when I got here, you know, the first day of English class, I think I had tears in my eyes just to be around students who were engaged and were eager and were challenging and who challenged each other. So both intellectually and artistically, it was deeply satisfying.
Is this your first time back?
I was back for about 45 minutes 8 years ago.
No.
So it's my first time back with any sort of significant duration.
How does it feel?
It's bizarre how many ghosts there are, like how vivid the memories are, and the smell is the same. You know, so much about it just brings me right back. It's interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm still, again, I think it's not an uncommon story that many of my best friends in the world come from that time in my life. And so I've been sharing snapshots of my week here with all of them and sending updates from the home front.
That's great.
Yeah.
Favorite memory of your time at Interlaken?
Oh, wow. That is so hard to pick, actually. I was remembering the thing we used to do that we weren't supposed to do was go barefoot at every concert.
Yeah.
And we used to always on stage. So I remember it was during a festival my senior year, and I was conducting an orchestra piece I had written. And, you know, all my friends are in the orchestra, and we had been told very sternly by our teachers that we had to wear shoes, that this was completely unprofessional, that, you know, parents are here, and you know, it's not that college scouts are here, but there's a sense of decorum that Interlaken really wants to present, and a pre-professionalism, let's say. And, you know, for whatever reason, we all just said, yes, of course we'll wear shoes. And we just all took them right off and marched out barefoot. And it's just a funny example of these tiny rebellions that are important at that age, whether it's, you know, hacking your way through the uniform or just claiming that independence and wanting to keep a sense of feistiness, I guess, despite all the rigor and the pressures and the way that we have to perform to other people's standards. And, yeah.
I really want to hear about your sound because I read electronic and electroacoustic.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah, I make really quite rich sculpted noise, I would describe it as. So I work with all sorts of materials. Some of them are traditional instruments used in uncommon ways where I'm really trying to seek out really chaotic and fluctuating timbres. But some of them are also using objects and materials that aren't traditionally classified as musical. So I'll take a piece of glass and scrape it against some metal. I will construct a strange kinetic sculpture and use microphones to capture the tiny polyrhythms that come out of it. For example, I did a big recording session with a group of live dancers where I was following them around there were quite a few of us actually kind of with boom microphones running around and trying to capture these dense polyrhythms of skin against breath, against feet, and looking for these charged kinetic textures. So really my palette is quite broad, and this They sometimes manifest in a string quartet. They sometimes manifest in a string quartet plus sounds coming out of speakers that are either moving around the audience or being projected through transducers on strange objects. And they sometimes manifest in music that just is just coming out of speakers or in speakers embedded in an installation. So sometimes live performers, sometimes just these sculpted sonic landscapes that are embedded in other kind of presentation contexts.
Was there a particular challenge writing for a youth orchestra?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for better and for worse, when you write music like I do, you tend to work, it's a fairly niche world, it's a niche audience, and it's a niche set of performers who are usually very highly specialized and incredibly talented. Many of the performers, for example, who performed the Miller Theatre concert we were just mentioning a few weeks ago are members of an ensemble called the International Contemporary Ensemble, and quite a few of them are Interlaken alums, so right. They all started here,
yeah.
But we've now been, you know, 15 years at this, and there's a lot you take for granted in terms of symbols and in terms of sounds and what exactly it is that I'm looking for, but it was a fun challenge to think about how to distill those my sonic desires into a symbolic language that students could approach and into a descriptive language that would get them toward the sound I'm really looking for. It's a relief when you can't take things for granted sometimes, because it forces you to examine, okay, what's really essential about this and how do I convey that to somebody who doesn't share my assumptions and
right.
my vocabulary.
Did you feel like you had to in any way, well, you said distill, that might not be the right word, but do you feel like you had to compromise at all?
So the piece has electronics in it as well, which is kind of a nice safety net. I definitely tried to be more restrained in terms of the metric complexity, the rhythmic complexity that I'm asking of students. But I was very ambitious in terms of the textural complexity I'm expecting. So string players are using their fingers and their bows in ways that, you know, I don't think many of them have yet. And similarly with quarter tones and the brass and the winds and harmonies that are, you know, really intentionally off the chromatic grid. The sense of what music is, I think, as it's taught in a Western music theory context, is really quite specific. And so I'm certainly asking students to explore textures that are far out, and harmonies and lines that are far outside of that that chromatic grid.
And so how are the rehearsals going then?
So far it's been a blast, actually.
Yeah?
People have been really open. Yeah, there's right. a lot of, as I've mentioned, these chaotic sounds that I'm looking for, they're not very easy to write down, actually. So a lot of them require what's often referred to as action notation. So if you think of traditional Western notation, what you're notating is the desired sound, not the physical motions that are going to be used to create that sound. So a flautist will look at a B flat and know, well, I'm supposed to push these fingers and not these ones, and I'll produce the B flat. With the sounds that I use, oftentimes you need to actually do the inverse. It's a bit more like guitar tablature or something, where I actually have to show them, I want your arm to move like this over the strings of a violin at this rate, and then I want it to move back down, and then I want it to pull horizontally versus vertically. So there's a lot of different types of information. So we spent a lot of the first day just decoding these symbols and getting everybody on the same page and sort of improvising in some of the techniques that I was asking of them.
It seems like a perfect time in one's education to open yourself to this type of experience.
Yeah, I hope so. I also had a chance to talk with the young composers yesterday, and that was very interesting and exciting to see.
That was a masterclass, right?
It was, yeah. And they just ask such beautifully big questions, you know? It's just, they want to know the real stuff. Like, what does music mean to you? I talked to some about, you know, about various identity crises I've had along the way of sort of thinking I would leave music and do something that seemed more to me outwardly useful for the world or
yeah.
more politically engaged. And I mentioned how I had to learn how to come to peace with the fact that I'm not only an artist, but also an artist who writes very challenging and esoteric work. And that's what comes, that's the most honest offering I have for the world. But it took me a while to accept that in myself. And they really pushed me on that. They wanted to know how I had come to peace with that process.
We're so glad you're here.
Thank you very much.
Ashley Fury, thanks for spending time with us here at Interlochen Public Radio.
Thanks for having me.